Welcome to the Wizards of Dapps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany. And today we're sitting down with Somei Jain from Instadap. Welcome to Wizard of Dapps.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you want to start by telling us a little about yourself? What's your background?
Yeah, so a little bit about me. I used to read about and learn about Indian stock market previously. So I was also from finance background.
I also understand you also have a big following on Quora, right?
Yeah, I have a good user base there reading about Indian stock market, and I also have over a million views there. So I used to write about Indian stock market and had a good grip over finance. And on internet, I started learning about programming as well. So previously, I used to build applications for fintech industry, mostly for Indian stock market. Then lately in 2017, when there was a crypto boom, we got into crypto space and also started learning about technological aspects of blockchain. Started with Bitcoin, but now we are full on Ethereum, building applications on Ethereum blockchain. And right now we are we also started a project, fund managing protocol, Mode Fund, which is now not in development after we launched Instadap, which got a good exposure. Now we are a team of 8 members and 4 core members are working full time on Instadap. And I'm leading the project right now.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So how did you learn about smart contract development?
So there are lots of guides online. I started with Coursera, then CryptoZombie is also a very good guide to understand Solidity and smart contract. So combination of all this, and then once you have a basic grip, just a Google search is enough.
And kind of more of a personal question, what made you want to go from the finance side more to the developer side? Because there's definitely room with the rise in decentralized finance now for financial mind, but what made you want to choose the developer route?
Yeah, actually we are still building financial products only on the blockchain, and apart from that, in traditional finance, there is so much censorship that we can't build anything on anywhere. Like we need license, we need permissions to build, to take APIs and stuff. On blockchain, everything is open source, so we are free to build anything. So there's flexibility in building this. So I can't think we can build a debt management system in traditional finance that we build in using MakerDAO open source protocol.
Cool. So why don't we just jump into Instadap and kind of how you started that? Like, what's the inspiration behind it? How did you come up with the idea? That kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So previously, there was a dashboard for MakerDAO, that dai.cdp.com, which is very lame. You need to make around 12 transactions to eventually get a loan. So it was not for normal users. Only geeky person who are really into crypto used to take the loan. So there was an event in India in August, ETH India, where we participated. And we came up with an idea that we should build something good on top of MakerDAO. So MakerDAO, you need to make 12 transactions. We build a resolver contract, which groups all the transactions into one, making it easy for end users to take the loan. We build that product in that hackathon first. And we are already thinking about some kind of ideas related to it. And we were also in the finalist in that hackathon. And after building it, we also got some good exposure from the community because it was something unique. And also the community is looking forward for something like that so they can easily interact with MakerDAO protocol. After that, we launched Instadap on mainnet on last year, December 1st week. And after launching on mainnet, it got a good exposure and community response. So we are keep pushing it and adding more customized features. Now we are heading to version 2.
Cool. Yeah. So when you were going for the hackathon, right, building Instadap 1.0, what were some of the technical challenges that you faced trying to ship that out?
I think the most problem we faced is the smart contract debugging. Right now, it's the toolings are not that easy to figure out what's the error, what's the actual error for the transaction failure. So this was the biggest problem while interacting with CDP. I mean, MakerDAO protocol, it was really a very big headache. And also on testing on testnets, all the protocols are not available on singles. For example, we showed a combination of Kyber network and MakerDAO on single contract. So instead of paying fees in MKR, you are paying in Ethereum, which internally gets swapped with MKR and paid to MakerDAO protocol. So while testing this on testnet, Kyber is on Robston, MakerDAO is on Coven, so it makes it really hard to test it on single contract. So even we do most of our testing on mainnet because of different protocols we're integrating.
Yeah, so it's almost like you wish there was a testnet where it was agreed upon testnet for everyone to deploy their own protocols right? Like Maker or Augur, all on, say, Gurley, for example, right?
Yeah, exactly. That will really, really helpful. And so all the protocol members need to come up with some standard on testnets and have a common standard of testing the protocols.
Just a question, I'm looping back to MakerDAO. At the hackathon, was that one of the options you could do, or was that a personal choice that you were like, I like what MakerDAO is doing, let's build an easy interface on top of that?
Yeah, previously we were thinking of building some payment gateway, but later on we had a talk with a MakerDAO guy, maybe his name is Sean, he visited the event. Then after that we got some technical details, then we got interested in building this. So we jump into this. It was just our choice.
Gotcha. So what did you build Instap 1.0 with, and how has that stack changed over time to today?
So initially we just started with a basic Express servers, and on building smart contract, we used Nbark initially to build the dApp integration and smart contract. And later on, we are trying some different libraries, like Truffle is also good. We've had a good experience. And we are also keenly watching Zeppelin's ZOS, which is still in work in progress maybe, but it also looked a little bit promising. Going forward, we will keep our backend tech stack in simple Express, because most of the interactions are happening on dApp. Once we render the HTML and all the public files front end, it keep on interacting with Web3 clients like MetaMask. So we need to improve on dApp integration and as well as some good libraries for smart contract building. So version 2 is a little bit complex on smart contract level. Version 1 was just a wrapper contract on top of MakerDAO. So it was a little bit easy. We will get our contracts audited as well.
Cool. Yeah. So what was the initial feedback and response from shipping into that? You cut down the transaction steps from 12 transactions to one transaction by bundling all of it together, right? What were some things that you did not expect to learn through launching?
Yeah. Initially, when we grouped all the transactions into one, we can only deploy the contracts once. Initially, I think we should use some tech stack where we can have an upgradation on the smart contract level. So right now in version 1, there is some calculation error. I mean, it's not something which locking the assets, but transaction get failed because there are long decimal numbers in sending in the values in Solidity. So it's like 18 decimal. And MakerDAO don't allow, to keep 0.005 path in the contract as a dust. So we need to send that exact decimal to get that funds out. Yeah. So
amazing.
Yeah. So I think in version 2, we are using delegate calls and other upgradation concepts to keep fixing and upgrading smart contracts internally without letting user do additional steps on deploying a new contract.
Do you know how many users have created CDPs through Instadap versus the native Maker portal, and how much DAI has been created?
Yeah, so Instadap was launched on December 1st week last year. It's going to be 3-4 months right now. And we had around 282 CDPs. When I checked today morning, I don't know, maybe it's increased. And MakerDAO is about to touch 10,000 CDPs. So we are having around 0.2 or 0.3 market share of the MakerDAO right now. And we are planning to have a 5% share at least by this year end.
Very cool.
Right now, we touched around 500,000 DAI has been issued by our platform. But due to the recent stability fees change, it reduced maybe around 300,000. I need to check the exact stack, but it's 300,000 somewhere DAI issued by our platform. So all the CDPs which are created on our platform, the custody of the CDP retains with our smart contracts. So it's not like owned by user, but that smart contract is having an internal ownership registry. So the user who created CDPs can only manipulate or change their CDPs via their own private keys only.
Cool, gotcha.
Was there a difficult transition going from hackathon to real world? Because from my understanding, hackathon code is pretty different, right? Because you just gotta, you're on a time constraint and stuff. So you have to get it out quickly. So what was that transition like?
Yeah, so on hackathon, it's not like you are under stress by building stuff because it's just on testnets and even no users are using it initially. But while launching it on market, in real market, you need to have a very good go-to-market strategy. So hackathon developers are different and system engineers are different. So after participating in ETH India, we were also invited to Kyber Network headquarters in Singapore. So this was our first meeting with a good crypto community person. So we met Loi Lu and other people who guided us through the process, how you should go through that process. You just build a hackathon project. Now you need to build a go-to-market product. You are just a hackathon developers or normal hobby developers. Now you need to become a system engineer. So we were in constant touch with their developer teams and also they were guiding us through the process. Even at the time of launch, we were in ETH in Singapore. We were at that event and we launched there and we also demonstrated the products to many good personalities like Amin from SpangChain and Loi Lu and other people. So we got good exposure there.
Very cool. And would you say your initial user base for InstaDApp when you did launch on mainnet came from the people that you knew that knew you from the hackathons, or was it completely different?
It's not the people I already know. This was the community who are already tracking MakerDAO and they were finding some pain points in using MakerDAO protocol at that time because of the interface. With a good, easy to understand interface and graphical representations and having a good UI got us a good exposure. Initially, it was just pushed by the community people. Then afterwards, we also start receiving users who don't even know what MakerDAO is. They are just using InstaDApp to take loan and underlyingly, we are just interacting with MakerDAO and giving them the loan. So all kind of people.
I kind of come from that side of things too, because I had heard of MakerDAO, but hadn't done a deep dive into what it was because it seemed very complex. And there was like a Medium post or something that walked through step by step how someone took out a loan using InstaDApp. And I was like, hey, this is really cool because I'm more of an end user because I don't have a technical background. I don't have much of a blockchain understanding compared to the average person in the industry. So being able to go to your website and just very easily read through and understand what was going on and having the real world, I'm putting that in quotes, real world parallel to traditional finance. It was a really easy connection and using InstaDApp logic, I guess, I was able to dive deeper into MakerDAO and understand what they are doing. So definitely a cool way to bring people over there.
So what is InstaDApp shipping right now?
Yeah, so right now we are occupied with two things. First, we also launched makerscan.io, which is a explorer for MakerDAO. So after launching InstaDApp, we had around a full 1 week development, good hours of coding for building MakerScan. It was a very quick project and we launched it. So after launching MakerScan, we got a good traffic on InstaDApp. So users used to explore their CDPs on MakerScan and got redirected to InstaDApp. So it was just related to MakerDAO protocol. Now in version 2, we are concentrating on DeFi protocols, building a mashup of DeFi protocols. We also had our UI and stuff ready. We are just going through some DApp integration and also sending our smart contracts for auditing. So we will soon be launching the version 2 portal as well. So we are trying to demonstrate mashup of DeFi protocol instead of just taking loans. So you can manage your tokens, you can manage your DApp, you can have derivative trades from DYDX, or you can add pools in Uniswap, everything on single dashboard, without even springing up the new names or technical jargons on the screen. So it's like you are using Gmail, but you don't know you are using, in underlying Gmail is using SMTP protocol, Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. So in similar fashion, we want to create a brand of InstaDApp, and in underlying, we will keep using many different protocols, MakerDAO, Kyber, Uniswap, Compound, DYDX, and everything. So in version 2, we are trying to demonstrate that. And second, we are also working on a Ethereum Financial Scanner. So EtherScan is really good for developers, for building stuff and for technical people, but normal users like my father don't understand EtherScan at all. So we were thinking, we already built and we are about to launch it next week, maybe. We're just doing our internal testing. On Ethereum Financial Explorer, you can check your financial status on blockchain. Instead of hashes or this hash is sending Ethereum to this hash, you really came to know on single dashboard how much is logged in Uniswap, how much you had logged in Compound, how much you had logged in MakerDAO, something like that.
That's really cool from an end user perspective, being able to go to one place and see everything.
Yeah. So along with building InstaDApp, we are also building some complementary products which are adding values to InstaDApp. And we see version 2 as a very good milestone for us. It can bring a good adoption.
So currently there's no fees to use InstaDApp. Have you begun to explore various monetization plans right now?
Yeah. So in version 2, we will start charging fees right away. And we'll charge few percentage on the volumes that you are making on InstaDApp. This is our primary monetization plan as of now. We are also internally thinking how we can, we also introduced the concept of giant CDP. It's just in theory right now, but it can also be used to generate cash flows via logged assets in the protocols. Another model we are also thinking is of pro membership, but it's a little long. It's not right now that we will introduce it, but for extra users who need extra supports and need any personal. So we are trying to build a personal banking experience on blockchain. So I think the users who want to be pro can have a personal experience while interacting with blockchain, can interact with the team and have personal advices on the loans and stuff. So that is also in our model list. So right now we will start with charging few percent on the volumes. Then eventually we will keep iterating based on the best volume without hampering the user experience.
Right. So how have you begun to explore the viability of various business models? Essentially, you know, you talk about a fee-based model, but, you know, you also mentioned exploring maybe a more premium subscription-based support model for customers that may need extra help, right?
Yeah.
How are you exploring these models? You know, are you doing user research?
Right now we are not going into some statistical level because we are still in the phase where we want to, where we are reiterating stuff and changing contracts interface and how should we cap the interface, how should we cap the buttons and stuff. So once we have a proper visibility on the product that this is the right product that user want to use, then we will start more focusing on monetization plans. Initially, we are just starting with some few percentage right now because it's easy to implement and also not hard for users to understand. We can see, simply state that on the interface.
Awesome. So what is your go-to-market strategy with InstaDApp 2.0?
It's not like any strategy. We launched version 2 directly on Twitter and reaching out good personalities and personalities for reviewing the dApp and making us a tweet something. We'll just launch it on in the community and maybe have some threads on Reddit and stuff. What we think is if you're having a unique product, which is not yet built, so we should focus on product instead of going to market. So we had not spent even a single dollar in marketing yet. Yeah, so if we are building something unique, marketing will happen instantly. I mean, if user is having some new thing, which they can't even think of, so we never ask for feedbacks, what we should do, what we do. We just have some unique ideas that even users can't think and can't give us enough feedback. So we just build it and launch it. People like it. And so people were talking about Livid CDPs and looping CDPs, how they loop the values in the CDPs. In a week or something, we just launched it and people liked it, something like that. So we believe more on building product and marketing will happen instantly.
What really excites me about what you just mentioned there was the business model of having implementing a fee structure there. Because the exciting thing is that once you implement the fee structure, you can actually potentially track, say, almost like an LTR of, you know, your customers of InstaDApp, right? And then you can start tracking, you know, once you can start tracking LTR, you can figure out, you know, what is a nice CAC that you can kind of like average your growth to potentially. And then potentially that opens up news for like to go after actually paid growth. And that's exciting because we haven't seen any other dApps out there really pursue such a model. I just think it's really interesting that we might be able to start seeing the rise of actual real startups with business models and so on.
Yeah, so I also think that previously there were many protocols, SMTP, IP, TCP, TCP, and this HTTP. These are all the protocols. Now companies like Twitter, Gmail, Facebook are building some good business model on top of this protocol. in similar fashion, there are many protocols, MakerDAO, Uniswap, Kyber, and other. And good business will create some good business value on top of this protocol. This is how the business, I mean, the protocol will grow underlying and also have a good business models on top of it.
Do you have someone on your team specifically for biz dev?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I used to track Indian companies in Indian stock market. So, and I also used to advise people on how you should invest in a company. So on a business point of view, I have a good grip over finance and technology. So we are having instead we are having good people on technology. We are having a good developer from Bangalore who used to do all the backend and blockchain stuff. I'm more focused on designing and having some business point of view of the product. And that Australian girl is helping us with content writing. On business terms, we are keeping our overheads very low. So we are having very low cost. And despite we haven't raised any funds or we are not an ICO project or even haven't raised any funds, still we are able to build this. So we are having a very low cost and we are trying to generate some revenue so we can have a good profit margins. So better the profit margin, better will the valuations.
Have you thought of using certain solutions like Portis to onboard people to InstaDApp?
Yeah, so I think we are still waiting for proper standards. Like last week, we had a meeting with Zakop from Coinbase. They are also trying to introduce something like login with Coinbase and stuff. So we will wait for some proper adoption of this kind of toolings and also the developer guides. And eventually, we will move to centralization services. So,
do you think like InstaDApp is a good product to be introduced to new users? So, you know, are you positioning InstaDApp to be that entry point into the ecosystem, or do you think there are better products out there more suited?
Yeah, so we also internally keep discussing about it. So right now, InstaDApp, only the users who are having enough knowledge regarding how to manage private keys and who are having some basic information about how to use Web3 dApps are only the users who are using InstaDApp right now.
Yeah.
So our users are coming from Coinbase Wallet, Trust Wallet, and MetaMask is still our preferred user base where we are getting good users.
Gotcha.
And regarding entry point, we are exploring many technologies. Like you're also working on Meta transactions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had demonstrated last month I went to Bangalore and demonstrated to many financial people about XDAI, and they were really excited about the technology, how they can get onboarded without having Ethereum or any other stuff. I mean, without having any private key management stuff. So it all works on browser. You open the website and you have your wallet ready. So we are keenly tracking meta transactions standards and we'll incorporate it instantly and whenever we saw some standard. Another technological advancement we are tracking is anonymous transactions. So AZTech is working on it. And
yeah, it's pretty crazy that we can probably see anonymous transactions in a year or two.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are your current favorite DeFi projects and how do you think the space is moving? How do you think the DeFi space will develop over the next few months or even this year?
So on protocol level, I like three protocols. If I list them, the top three are MakerDAO, Uniswap, and Compound. Best thing about these protocols are your assets are locked. So it's out of supply and it increases the value of the assets because it's not in supply. So demand increases and supply decreases. Yeah, MakerDAO is currently having a good weightage on DeFi. And the DAI which are generated on MakerDAO are the top assets in Uniswap and Compound. So it's like all are having good synergies. And these three protocols are very interesting. I'm also very excited about Compound version 2. And moving forward, I think instead of protocol-oriented projects, the projects which are being built on that protocol will have more exposure, more valuation, and more demand. So just like I said, Gmail is having more valuation than SMTP protocol. In the similar fashion, the customized services which are being built on these protocols, maybe MakerDAO, Uniswap, or something, will have more valuation than the protocol itself. This is how the tech will grow, and this is how the business model should evolve so the businesses can also provide good experience to the users without being custodian of their assets.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point because you're right. It is the things that the application or the interface that the end user will actually end up using is where we see the value, even though the underlying protocol is what allows that to function. DeFi has a lot of momentum right now. Do you think this will keep going?
Yeah, so we are following DAFI since a year now. And what is very impressive about it is there's no censorship that you need to think. So even my brother, before having his own bank account, he's still in college, he had CDP opened on the MakerDAO. So it's like anyone can do anything without any restriction and stuff. So it makes it pretty flexible for developers. So more innovation will come through this industry. And even if we see banking websites and government websites and this big companies, so they are still having very lame interface and stuff. So having an open source platform for building financial activities will create a good community around it. And also flexibility will give developers to build some innovative products on top of it without compromising the security, because blockchain is all about having your own bank with yourself. Just the medium will change via some interface. Yeah.
Yeah. So I personally think, you know, there's a lot of noise around DeFi right now. Yeah. And it's creating a lot of people shipping things, creating a lot of noise. And to me, the DeFi space is making, specifically Ethereum, right? It's making money on Ethereum more efficient and more meaningful. It's making cash better, right? But what do you do with this cash in this crypto economy?
Yeah. So it's again a very good point that to make DAI work or any other crypto work, you should have an ecosystem which is accepting that currencies. So
right,
yeah,
that's an economy, right?
Yeah,
having better money unlocks a lot of things. You know, a lot of better utility enables you to do loans. You know, as one example, but yeah. Well, I think, you know, DeFi is a large part of Web 3.0, but I think, you know, it largely takes away a lot of the imagination and attention away from everything else, right? From experiments such as Cent, right? Or even say Super Rare.
I agree to the point that it doesn't really have a use case right now. Like, great that these things are being built and that people are excited about it. But you're right. If we can't spend the DAI, or if no merchants or whoever, if you can't spend DAI in any regard, there is no real value there. And then I guess the hope is that it will be accepted further down the line. But just the fact that someone like me, who's not super into the crypto space, can understand these, I think that does drive adoption to more people. And then with that adoption, for example, DAI will be, people will come in with projects that will accept DAI. And then from there, that's how it will spread. So right now, there may not be an economy, but I think the general understanding of crypto in general and DeFi, because there is that traditional finance parallel, I think that allows the gap to be bridged a little bit, which is helpful.
That's a fair point. I just think that we should be growing the economy versus making it more efficient right now.
Exactly.
At least, like, we can do everything at once, right? But I really think the focus should be experimenting with how we can transfer, create, and curate value on Web 3.0, because that's what it really enables, right? Oh. The nuanced means of how to handle value, how to preserve it, how to transfer it. Right.
Yeah. Even on InstaDApp, most of the users are taking loan to leverage it into Ethereum itself. So they're not using it on their real life. They're just taking loan and again investing in Ethereum. And so we have our own feature of leveraging CDPs, where user can do that loop without making multiple transactions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was looking into this, and I kind of have a question, because you were saying before that people are basically their own banks in the crypto world. Do you think that this could be very dangerous? Because banks reject people for loans for certain reasons. Mm-hmm. And yes, like in these situations, you have to put up the collateral. And if you don't have the collateral, then you can't take out the loan. Mm-hmm. But also with margin trading and stuff, it's a very, sure, there's definitely high reward, but there's also very high risk. Mm-hmm. And my concern is that people that don't really understand finance a lot are getting into these things and then gonna completely crash and lose everything. And I guess that's just like your personal responsibility. But for me, it's like, is the education level there? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think the businesses which are being built on this should restrict it on interface level. So it's impossible to restrict on protocol level, but the interface that user are using can have a restrictions on that. So on our InstaDApp leverage, we are having a cap of 10 Ethereum. user can't leverage more than that. So
okay.
So it's something that an interface should understand and educate users. Once they are educated or they are having enough wealth to do the leverage, for example, you can only leverage your 20% of our overall Ethereum or something like that. So yeah, still tech is still evolving and it will keep iterating with the users.
Cool. Just one question. Are you thinking about doing any fiat on-ramps, enabling that capability?
Yeah. So in January, we are in constant touch with Sendwire team. They are having some good mechanism for converting DAI into fiat, which is hard packed. So for one DAI, you get $1. But so instead of just on-ramping, we are trying to make that transactions on CDPs. You can pay back your DAI with USD or something like that. So we will keep a good track over it. But I think bringing fiat on interface will bring some legal complications as well. So first, we should have a good foundation of legal structure that we are exploring right now. But once we have that, we have all the tech and stuff and all the research and stuff ready. So we can implement it very quickly.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on to the Wizard of Dapps today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter @WizardofDapps.